Can you hear me?
Hi, I'm on my cell phone, so I'm hoping that if not, I'll switch back to the my desktop, my iPad. But I'm hoping that you hear me on my cell phone.
I can hear you fine. I hear you. Oh, like you're, perfect. Like, I hear you like you're sitting right next to me. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Oh, how excellent. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I'm wearing my headphones that have right. like you know that speaking device. So maybe that's why. But that's good.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yay. Oh, so Yadida, I wanted to ask you, because sure. I think it would really like help me connect even deeper, but how was your Passover and what made it special for you and all that?
it was actually one of the hardest Pesachs I've ever had.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, oh. But you know what? It was an amazing, 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 amazing Pesach in many ways.
Okay.
And one of the things that was so amazing was I was having a very difficult time. A lot of my own negative stuff appeared during Pesach. Now, I know that Rabbi Ashlag says that when we can see our own negative stuff, that's actually a salvation. It's actually a Yeshua.
Okay.
But it's a great gift. But it's a very difficult gift. I mean, it's very painful.
Okay.
So, at one point, I remembered that one of my other chavrutas had asked me if I would teach a class during Pesach. They're an advanced group. In Efrat. And so I looked for something that would be appropriate for them for the second Yom Tov, for the crossing of the Red Sea.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The second Yom Tov is when we celebrate the crossing of the Red Sea.
Okay.
So I was looking at that, and I found a beautiful piece in the Zohar, which was about how God took out the axle from the chariots, and then the chariots went heavily. And so the Zohar was looking at what does it mean the chariots went heavily, and how he was acting against Pharaoh and all that. And it was a beautiful piece. And I thought it had a lot of inner work there involved.
Okay.
So I started to hunt about to find out if Rabbi Ashlag had ever taught on that piece.
Oh, wow.
Because there are oral teachings that he taught. So I was hunting around and I found this letter. Now, this letter was dramatic for me because it said, it was talking about the verse, Bo el Paro, come to Pharaoh. It was like right at the very beginning of Moses' mission.
Right.
When God says to him, go to Pharaoh.
Yes.
And he says, come to Pharaoh, which is you know, already a question in itself. Why is he saying come?
Yes.
And what he actually writes in this letter is Faro Gilui HaShchina, that Pharaoh is the revelation of the Shechina. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, my God, what are we talking about here? And how can he write this, you know? And I'm like in shock completely because Pharaoh is like the worst of all the separations, the klipot, the evil within us is called Pharaoh.
Right.
The one which really takes us away from God is Pharaoh.
Right.
And he says, come to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is Gilui Shechina, is the revelation of the Shechina. And I was feeling so terrible about all this stuff I saw in me. And he said, this is actually put there by me, that God's put all of it there.
Okay.
And then the whole letter develops from this idea that the reason why we have the darkness is so that we will search and come to the light.
Yes.
Well, you know.
Yes.
I could have read this letter in a theoretical sense, but it was an actually happening You know, it was
actually happening. Okay, got it. Yes, I understand.
Do you know what I mean? It was actually happening. And
but Yudita, just, you know, not to interrupt you, but I just need to say that I going through something this morning myself, which I can get into later if it feels right. But and I asked for some help to understand it, you know.
And I
knew, of course, I'm having a class with you, so I thought, okay, I'm asking for some help in the class so I could understand this, and you just basically just led us right there. So
of course.
So I think it's continuing. Okay. Wow.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so, you know, it's been incredibly painful and actually a place of giving thanks as well.
Okay.
So yes, liberating Pesach.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I understand now in a much deeper way now some of the, you know, areas of Pesach, because some of them are so, you have the wise son, you have the wicked son. Yeah. Now, the wicked son, Rav Ashlag writes, is a man of great understanding, a man of great, he's of great consciousness.
The wicked son.
Yes. I mean, they're put in an order. Yes. And the wicked son is not somebody who is not working on himself. He's a person who actually recognizes his own wickedness.
And he's
aware of it. He might not be able to separate from it, but he's aware of it. And that in itself is a very high level.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally.
Now,
wow.
When you look at the wicked son, you know, these four stereotypes, you know, it looks like, or you've got the stereotype of Pharaoh, you know, the wicked, and you've got the Egypt, the wicked, and you've got the poor old children of Israel. And when you look at it in Rabbi Ashlag's way, it's all those are elements within ourselves.
Right.
All of them are represented within ourselves. And it's all about recognizing that they are all there to serve God.
Right. That's beautiful. That is so beautiful.
It's very, very, okay. Very hard.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, maybe I'll just share. Can I just share something?
Of course you can. It's your time, my love, and I'm here just for you.
Well, you know, when my daughter was born, I don't know how soon after, but it was probably fairly soon after, like maybe like a week or two, I cast her chart and her astrological chart just to have a look. And I looked at it and I knew a couple of things right away. I knew, oh, she was going to be living far away from me, which is really like, and I've never actually told her that because of course I didn't ever want to influence it in any way. But of course that's exactly what manifested. And then I thought of all the sun signs, just speaking strictly a sun sign, it's probably the most difficult combination for me. And I thought, wow, like, so then I held her close, you know, and we had not an easy sort of beginning in life, shall we say, because her father and I separated and he's not well in his head. And it was rough going, right?
At least you separated. Did you separate when she was very small?
Oh yeah. Cause I thought I cannot bring her up in this terrible environment. So that,
at least
that
you had
was
the sense to do that, Diane.
Yeah, but then I found somebody else, you see, that's the problem, who was a lot, like, say, saner, shall we say, okay, like, better, you know, in that way, but still, karma follows you, and I still had to, still was sort of replaying certain dynamics, you know?
Yes.
So her karma, she chose me because she knew that I would be, you know, presenting her with...
for that, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So... anyhow, so um, yeah, so I've been, it's been hard because she ended up, you know, the one person, you know, I have to say, like, even though it was difficult and it wasn't easy, I always tried. I kept trying and
of course.
trying and to, you know, and I was the one up, you know, late at night with her, and it's not that I should get a medal for it, but I know that I was making mistakes and I know that I was trying, okay, right, at the same time. And of all the, you know, people that, you know, ended up being kind of hurtful and things like that, she's, you know, seems peaceful with them, and yet she's still in a rejection mode with me. And it's so hard, it's so painful, and
it's terribly painful.
It's so painful. And so I was praying this morning and I was asking, you know, wow. You know, like, just because, I mean, everybody's got their stuff, you know, but they don't necessarily have to have a difficult relationship with their children in just because they have their stuff, you know? And so I was like, why am I given this, you know? And so it's interesting, you know?
One of the things that I begin to understand is the will to see for ourselves alone is what Adam and Eve brought into the world when they ate the apple, and they were absolutely meant to do that. It was right. Planned by God that they did, because without having that negative stuff within ourselves, we actually cannot come to our fulfillment.
Okay.
So how is that passed on from generation to generation? It seems to be that it's passed... Oh, dear, it's my telephone making terrible noises. 1 minute, let me just switch
off. Okay.
Right, okay. It seems to be that these emotional imprinting is yes. carried on at an exceptionally early age, probably before we're verbal even.
Right.
It's so this emotional imprinting is not something that we have much control over. It's something that happens from because it seems to be, this is what I'm learning in the presence process, yeah. that it seems to be something that's brought into our being. Like a baton passed on from the relay race.
Right. Right.
Now, it's not to say that all the work that we do doesn't change things or help things. It does enormously. But okay. the basic wills to receive are passed on precisely so that your daughter will have exactly the right tools and exactly the right... A work that she needs to do to play her part, her unique, yeah. fantastic part in this creation.
Yeah.
So you exactly. gave to her exactly the right stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly what she needed.
Yeah. That. See, I try with that, okay? And then what happens is I'll call it my selfish part, okay? I'll yeah. call it that, wants her to be in my life.
Of course, of course you do.
And I don't know if that's going to happen, you know? And that's hard.
It's very hard.
Because she's not just some old person, you know what I mean?
No.
Or some friend that I used to know, you know, no. that kind of thing. And it's interesting because recently, like very recently, like towards the end of last year, an extremely close friend of mine that I had when I was like 16. Mm. So a lot, you know, a while ago, we were so, so close. And of course, I moved away from Toronto. I moved out west. And also, we had some things, issues between the two of us. So, you know, we kind of parted ways, but not in a too dramatic way, but we just parted ways.
Mm-hmm.
And she just happened to look me up at the end of last year.
Mm.
And we have reconnected, and it's like a sister that I have gained all over again.
Oh,
it's
fantastic.
Like, it's so amazing. We've both sort of grown up and we both have children, but you know, it was so wonderful, and it continues to be wonderful. And she's the one that I'm collaborating with right now musically. So it's more than I could ever even dream of. It's so beautiful. And you know, that is, of course, you know, that it's so interesting because, you know, you ask for something, you know, you ask for what you feel you really, really want or really need, right? Which I'm asking for deeper reconnection with my daughter.
Mm.
And then Allison comes back into my life, but not my daughter. You know what I mean?
I think it'll happen.
Okay. Shit, I need somebody to say that to me.
I think it'll happen, but it'll happen actually at the right time.
Okay.
And it will happen. Okay. I don't have any doubt that it'll happen.
Oh, because, wow.
No, I don't have any doubt that it'll happen. Because if you think about her life, who is the most important person to her? Who's the one who knows her from when she began? It's you.
Wow. Okay.
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 And at some point or other, she is going to want you. Now,
okay.
You say that she's hurtful and resentful towards you.
I think so, yeah. She judges me, yeah.
Okay, but you're communicating then.
Not a lot, but you know, just it's difficult. Yeah. So maybe if I'm lucky, maybe once a month, if I'm lucky, but I have to be the one to initiate and I have to wait for her to respond to me and to set it up and, you know, and then she, during the Skype call, if I say something she doesn't like, she just, you know, has a look on her face, like, you know, that she's really, really, really angry with me and, like, oh my God, like, it's just like, it's insanity, you know?
I've got something like that a bit with my oldest one at the moment.
Oh, oh God, okay. Oh my God. Wow. Wow.
And I think all you can, first of all, Dovin, praying helps. Really helps. It does help.
Okay. Okay.
And don't expect any time frame.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
I think that's the key. Don't expect a time frame.
Okay.
I've got another chavruta whose child, also a child, her only child, who also wasn't talking to her.
Okay.
And I just said to her, you know, just send them love, but don't try to tell them anything. Don't try to say, you know, how, you know, or just be yourself. Don't try to tell what they should do or not do or anything like that. Just, you know, just be yourself.
Right.
You know, share your life with her, but not expect her to share her life with you.
Right. That's, okay, got it.
And miracles are happening.
Okay.
What can I tell you? The moment she let go,
and
the moment that she was able to be herself, happy and joyful, without any worries of what was going to be next.
Okay.
Just enjoying that present conversation, just enjoying that present moment.
I see. Right, with no expectations.
With no expectations of the next time.
Okay.
Well, no expectations of maybe this is the moment when everything will change.
That's key.
Just be there in that moment.
Okay.
With her. And the moment that you're really in the moment with her, she will start to be in the moment with you.
Right. Okay, got it. Okay. That makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes total sense, because I know that it's been conditional in my heart. My heart has been conditional, right? Or calculated,
yes, it's
right?
Like, it's like there's that fear at the back of it.
Yeah.
What will be next time, or what will be, well, when will she come back to me?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And she's suddenly picking, because it seems to me that you had actually an exceptionally close relationship.
I did. And then around 15, you know, all of her anger, that was, you know, it's not like, you know, I didn't make any mistakes, but all of it from other sources just came right at me.
Yeah, because you were the closest to her.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it hasn't really snapped out of it. That's been 10 years, right?
So she's 25.
She's 25, yeah. Or 26. Oh, God, I can't remember now. She's 1991, so she's 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
When we get stuck in an emotional pattern, we can get stuck in that for years.
Right.
It doesn't mean to say it's getting worse. It doesn't mean to say it's getting any better. It just is.
Yeah.
Until something moves. Now, if we have expectations that she's going to move,
right,
then that's a silly expectation.
Yes.
She will move at her pace, at her time, when she's ready.
Yeah.
But you can move at your pace if you, you know, so what will be the change? Well, simply to be unconditional, come to a place of which is more present, more in the present tense with her.
Okay.
And that does mean, like, it means letting go. It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And also it really means that when you are, one of the things I'm learning with this presence process, I don't think I've got it down pat because I really haven't, but it means that when we get these negative feelings and difficult feelings rising, it's really just to be with them and not judge them.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Not wanting them to be positive or not wanting them to be different than what they are.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Imagine,
okay.
I mean, you can imagine when she's a small baby, when she's a small child, she's crying.
Yeah.
You don't get upset because your child is crying or because your baby is crying.
Right, right.
Okay. In some ways, it's the same thing.
Okay.
In a way, she's behaving in a crying way, in a hurtful way or resentful way, but just label it crying.
Okay.
Okay. And the moment you label it like that, you're not personally affected by it in the sense of I'm hurt too.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. It's not a reflection on me just because she's crying.
That's right. Now, that's difficult because as a mother, we do feel it's a reflection on ourselves.
Of course.
All right.
It's like, oh my God, all the shitty things I did. And
absolutely.
I've done so much teshuva, I'm sure you have too,
yeah,
to do with my daughter than anybody else or anything else. Right. And so there's a couple, it's funny because, you know, in this realm of physicality, right, we are bound, part of the dualistic nature is we're bound by space and time.
Mm.
And, we are. It governs our life here. And so then it also comes into our heads and like a pharaoh, like an inner pharaoh, and says, in voices that say, it may be that, you know, you could live your whole life here and never have a connection again with your daughter. Like things like that, right? Like,
oh, absolutely. And that's pharaoh speaking.
Yeah.
That's Pharaoh speaking.
Yeah, exactly. That's Pharaoh speaking.
That's Pharaoh speaking. That's just Pharaoh. I mean, He's just trying to disrupt something. He's trying to enslave you, to make you the slave of your fear and your pain.
Yes. Okay?
That's what he's doing.
You know, if I was ignorant and didn't see that as it was going on, then this would be a really wonderful moment. But but to go deeper into it, what my problem is that I know that as it's happening, and yet we
fall in.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. Because then why does it say we all fall in? And why do we fall in?
Oh my God.
Because it says, Ani velo shaliach, ani velo achel. Only God can get us out of the clutches of the inner Pharaoh. Only God can do it. Now, this is what Rav Ashlag writes in this letter. I need to learn this letter with you.
Oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, the moment the children of Israel ascribed their slavery to the Egyptians, that's when they were in exile. The moment we describe our inner slavery to our own inner darkness, that's when we're in exile. But when we ascribe our slavery to God, that God put us in this slavery, then we are no longer in the dark, because God himself put us there and God himself will take us out. And the essence of Pesach is that Golah, the word gola, gimel vav lamed hey,
yes,
and geula are the same word, and the only difference is the aleph, the ot aleph. That in the geula, God's presence is revealed, and in gola, God's presence is concealed.
So gola is what?
Exile.
Exile and geula.
Yeah, let me write that for you on the instant messages.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh. Or it's okay. I can write it down here too.
One minute. No, it's okay. Gola and geula. There you are. So the first one is exile. The second one is redemption.
Is redemption. Geula is redemption.
Yes.
Okay.
So you look at the difference. There's only the difference is the ot aleph.
Right.
Now the Ot Aleph is one, is God.
Yes.
So in Geula, God is open. In Gola, he's concealed.
Got
but it's
it.
It's the same thing.
Right. He's there. He's there. His presence is there regardless.
He's doing the whole thing. He's doing the whole bloody lot.
Wow. So it's interesting because my question this morning is to God, in a sense, was why of all, you know, personality, karmic personalities, right? Did you give me an Aquarian, which because for me, that's a hard one, right? At close range, that's a hard one, you know? And at the time, it was the only sort of astrological sign, in a sense, that I really didn't quite get. I didn't quite get it, you know? What is Aquarius all about? Well, I don't know. I'll study that another time. And I never really quite got it. And then who arrives but my daughter, right, who's an Aquarius. And so I was praying this morning going, why did you do that? I mean, that's going to be, she's always going to be an Aquarius. I'm always going to be what I am. You know what I mean? So I can't change who I am. She can't change who she is in the very basic, you know, way that, you know, that we approach life, you know?
Right.
That's part of our personal path, right? And so I was like, well, but so that means that means that I'm going to have that kind of difficulty, like lifelong, you know? And I think what you're saying.
How much do you think your knowledge of her astrological chart might have helped influence you?
Oh, not very much, because I'm really good at that kind of thing. I don't, I'm not sensationalistic about it. No, not at all. I have probably done astrology many, many lifetimes, and it's just like a tool.
It's
like
just
Yeah, like I know how to read or whatever it is, right? Okay. Like I just, so and I'm very good at, I'm very good at it. Very, very good at it. But I don't, you know what I mean? Like I see it as a tool. I had a very, very good teacher about 10 years ago who said to me, you could wake up and not have any connection to clairvoyance or psychicness or anything like that. So you better have a good relationship with God, because that's you need to have that as your constant, not any of your tools.
It's true.
Yeah, so... not that it was a problem with astrology at all, or tools, but I've never forgotten that. Right.
Mm.
And so, I'm grateful for the knowledge, and it does definitely assist me, but no, I am not attached to it and all that. It was just that when you have, it's called a quincunx. And so I'm a Virgo and she's an Aquarius. And so what it is that if you think about your opposite sign, right?
Oh God, yes, she's completely opposite.
Yeah, but she's to the side.
She's
so
what?
That she's to the side of the opposite, okay? So my opposite is Pisces, okay?
Okay.
And then on one side of Pisces is Aries and one side of Pisces is Aquarius.
Okay.
Okay, so those two signs that are to the side are actually more painful than being involved with somebody at close range who is an opposite.
Oh, I see.
Because with an opposite, you can actually see yourself a lot more easily. You can see the shadow concepts of yourself through them much more easily. Okay.
I'm a Pisces, by the way.
A Pisces. Okay. Well, perfect. Of course. Of course. There you go. That is the perfect, for me, that is the perfect. And that's where I have like things in my chart saying that's where your great teachers are, you know. And so there you are. Thank you very much. And it's not like, so if I have like friends who are like, you know, Aquarians or Aries or whatever it is, that's whatever. That's fine. You know, it's just somebody that's a really, really close range, like either a partner or a child or something like that. You're going to really feel the uncomfortableness of that. It's called a quincunx, right? Because it's like you're perpetually, you love each other, the love is there, but it's like you just can't seem to get each other.
Oh yeah, I think that's what I have with Iggy.
Oh God.
He was born September 3rd. I think he's Virgo or something.
So that's Virgo. That's opposite. So that's going to be a bit different. That's different. So you have your issues because he's opposite, but you can still find your midpoint. You can still find your way.
I hope so.
Well, you know, I understand the opposites for sure. Like, you know, because one person is going to have to go over to the other person's camp completely in order for you guys to have a conversation or to have an experience. You know what I mean? There's no compromise with opposites. One person has to, and whoever is doing it at first in the relationship, which in this case would be you, that's the way it will always be. It will always be you, you know, letting go of everything who you are and going into his world and trying to understand how he identifies and then merging with that. So that's how
what
it goes.
He wants me to do. Yeah.
And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Whoever start, it doesn't flip-flop. It doesn't flip-flop. If you try to make it flip-flop, meaning that you demand that he comes over to your camp once in a while, then you will be in conflict.
Yeah, that's
right?
What's been happening, I think.
Exactly. So you just have to, so yours is actually a little bit easier. You just have to give it up.
Okay.
Just like, yeah. Seriously. And understand his world.
Okay.
And participate in his world. But that's what I'm saying is that's actually easier because you can, there's a kind of like a programming that you can actually kind of connect with and understand how to do that.
Okay.
If you try, you know, if you want to, which
yes.
of course you will. Okay. With what's called quincunxes, it's like each person says, okay, let's meet at the cafe at 2:00. And we both go, sure. Okay, great. And then the next day, okay, I go to the cafe and it's 2. Maybe it's a little bit before 2 because I do that. I make sure I'm on time, right? And Nira doesn't show up. So I wait. And so then 10 minutes later, I try calling her on her cell and there's no answer. And so I wait some more, blah, 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 blah. And eventually at, 2:25 or whatever it is, I get up and leave. And then around that time, she shows up at the cafe. But I'm not there, right?
Right.
Yeah. But not only that, but when we do connect, eventually there's no connection on her part that was something that you don't do. That, you know what I mean? That you should.
Yeah, she doesn't see that she's got a role to play in this.
Yes. 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 So, but the quincunx goes both ways. And what I'm getting from you, if I could just talk this out, because it's really, you're really helping me today.
Okay.
You, like God is speaking through you, like loudly and clearly. And so I have to realize I'm part of the quincunx. There's no quincunx without me, right?
Absolutely.
I'm there. So I've tried to take, through doing teshuvah and different things, I've tried to take responsibility. And yet I'm wondering if maybe I'm not taking responsibility for something still after all this time, you know? It's not for you to answer, but it's you know, like, God, I don't know what to do because it's...
I think that's your answer.
Okay.
That's actually your answer. When you say, God, I don't know what to do, that is actually your answer. And your answer
is that
God is saying to you, darling Diana, there is nothing for you to do. It's time for me to take over.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's exactly what being in the present with her means.
Right. Right. Oh, my goodness. That makes total sense. Total sense. And I guess there's no one who's going to be a greater teacher for me to do that than Nira. Because I, my need to control does not work in this situation.
Nope.
Right?
It's not going to work, no.
It's not going to work.
No.
So it doesn't matter how I try to pretend not to control. You know? I've done a lot of that too, right? Like, okay, all right. You know, but it has to be heartfelt. It has to be,
yes.
And the only way, can be heartfelt is through handing it all over to God.
Absolutely. And you just have to be happy with yourself in your life.
Okay.
And your relationship with God and knowing that he is absolutely with her. When 1,000% he's with her.
Okay.
Just that's, like he never abandoned you throughout all the years, he's never abandoned her either.
Oh, my God. I don't know why I've never, ever thought that thought.
It's not an obvious thought at all. It isn't obvious. Why would it be obvious? I don't think that's obvious.
Well, it's just we go through a lot of thoughts, right, when it comes to our children, right, and how to maneuver,
because we feel responsible as parents. We have to be responsible. I mean, there you were, Diane, in that very difficult situation. You were married to a man who was not mentally okay.
Yeah.
You've given birth, you were a young woman, you've given birth to a baby. You had to make very serious decisions about how you were going to continue your life. You made what seems to me to be very appropriate decisions.
Okay.
Okay. And
yeah.
I don't know if she had a father figure or for how long she had one or not, but you did the best you could with the tools that you had. And they were exactly the tools that God wanted for you and for her. He wanted that to happen. Just like he wanted Eve to eat the apple. I mean, poor Eve, what she must have felt like. I mean, my God, she is, and yet she's called the mother of all mankind. She is the mother of us all. She must, and we don't know exactly how long she lived, but in those days they lived about 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So she had a hell of a life, a hell of a long life afterwards, in which to, you know, beat her breast on.
Right.
And yet she had to know that this was what God wanted.
Okay.
And not only that, he organized it. It says, Ba'alila nora asa zot. That's in Tehillim.
Yeah.
God, Hanora is God. Ba'alila, he planned it all. Did this. God did this on purpose. He planned that she would eat the apple. He planned that she would listen to the snake. He put the words into the snake's mouth. He did every single thing so that it would happen that way.
Okay.
So she would take it in. And why? Because Rav Ashlag says we go up in holiness and not down. So it doesn't matter what it looks like.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I saw, my God, what came up for me over Yom Tov was unbelievable, Issa. I mean, really, 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 really.
Oh.
And to actually see it and to accept that we go up in holiness and not down is not an easy thing. And you have to believe that we go up in holiness and not down. So the world in general is going up in holiness. And she got precisely what she needed. And she is still getting what she needs. And God loves her with an infinite love.
Okay.
Just as he loves you.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's the hardest thing, but I think it's a tilgul. One of the things I haven't got at all yet, but I'm trying to learn. When I go to the chiropractor, okay?
Yeah.
What does he do? He presses different areas on the back, okay? And this is the system he works. It's called nerve spinal analysis. But what he does, alignment or something, and what he does is these different points that he presses wake up different emotions. Not all of them are very pleasant. I can tell you, they are not all pleasant at all. Very often, though, he will wake up very unpleasant, difficult sensations or emotions or whatever they are. And then he goes off, you know, he watches it happen, and then he goes off and deals with somebody else in the meantime and just lets you stew in it. Okay.
Wow. Yes.
And then he'll come back and he'll do something else. And basically what you do and what he's taught me to do is that when we have difficult emotions and feelings is to accept them without any judgment whatsoever and just allow them to be.
Okay.
And there's an incredible exercise which is actually on the internet, which I can send to you, which is exactly that.
Okay.
It's called The Alchemy of the Heart or something, but it's by the same guy, Michael Brown, who does the process portal, and it's just the process, presence process. Okay. And it's an incredible, incredible exercise. He says you do it for 40 days. And 40 days is the time of the Omer. We've got about exactly 40 days left, so it's perfect.
Yes.
And it's exactly that. It's to learn to deal with these difficult feelings without any judgment whatsoever. And when we can do that, then you can be totally free when you meet your daughter. Because whatever pushes and triggers she's doing, and it's not conscious on her part, Yeah. She's doing precisely what God wants her to do. You will be able to breathe and be happy and content through it.
Okay.
Not only that, he writes, and this is the truth. He teaches, and it's an actual experiential teaching. He teaches that these difficult emotions are actually the food which gives you your energy and your impulse to look for God, to search for God.
And, of course.
But in their transformed state, not spiraling down. So this is, again, what Rav Ashlag is saying. If you go back to that letter, it's Giloy Shechina. And where's the Tanakh? Here's the Tanakh. The Tanakh is, I'll tell you where it is. It's Exodus.
Okay.
This is the Posuk. Exodus Bo. Where's Bo? Shemot Bo. Bo, 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 Bo. Yeah. So it's Bo. Bo, here we go. So it's Shemot. Chapter 10.
Exodus chapter 10.
Yeah. Verse 1.
Okay. So Shemot chapter 10. Okay, wait, hang on. I'm almost there.
Okay.
Okay, got it. And verse 1. Okay.
Yeah. Have you got it in Hebrew?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Terrific. Okay. So you want to read it?
Sure. Okay.
Off you go.
Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo el Faro ki ani hichbadeti et libo ve et lev avadav lema'an. Did I turn that right? Yeah, okay. Lema'an shti ototai ela bikribo.
Perfect.
Okay.
And God said to Moses, now again, it's Yud Hei Vav Hei, so it's the God of compassion.
Okay.
Okay. Come, El Moses, come to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants in order that I will place my signs within him. Okay.
Okay.
Ulema'an, carry on. One more verse.
Okay, sure. Ulema'an tispar ba'az...
Tisaper
ba'azne bincha uven bincha et asher hit al lalti bimitzrayim ve'et ototi asher samti vam. Vayida'atem ki ani ad Hashem.
Perfect. In order that you shall tell in the ears of your children. Now, the word tisaper means to tell, like sipur is a story.
Sipur, okay.
Right? But it's also sphira. It's also a sphira.
Mm.
And the sphira is shining.
Oh my God.
Okay? In order so that you will shine. Okay.
Oh my God.
And the light will shine. Ba'oznei vincha. Now, my chavruta said, bincha uben bincha means your child child's child in the literal translation. But in the inner meaning, it means that you will understand. You will have understanding.
Oh. Wow.
What I have wrought, caused to happen in Egypt. Et ototai, my signs. Now, a sign, ot, is a letter. An ot is a letter.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And what is a letter? A letter is a vessel for the light. It's the black ink on the Sefer Torah, which tells us what the light of the Sefer Torah is. If it weren't for the black ink in your Tanakh, you had no idea what the Tanakh is saying to you.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So
right.
What is an ot? An ot is a lack. It's a lack of light in order to show the light.
Okay.
It's a black space where there is no light. In order to show the light. because you can only show the light when you have mm-hmm. a black space where there is no light.
Yes, yes.
God almighty, how painful can you get? But that's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah.
Okay. Oh, totai. And then when you realize that, and you realize that it's God who is hardened his heart and hardened the heart of his servants, and he, in order that I will place my vessels in his midst, okay, within him, so that you will shine. There will be a shining forth, and you will have understanding, okay, of what I have caused to happen in Egypt, and my signs, my vessels, which I place within them, and then vidatem, da'at, that de'a is intimate knowledge of I am God.
I always wondered what da'at meant, you know, because I understand.
Da'at is not knowledge. It's not knowledge in the sense that we have information.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not knowledge like that. It's intimate connective knowledge.
Intimate connective knowledge. Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. Well, I feel like this is the first time I've understood what that point is. I understood that it was sort of like the amalgamation of the first three sefirot, but how, what is its purpose, or how does it act? I don't know. So that's very, very interesting.
Mm.
You know, it's her name came to me.
Good. What's her name?
Her name is Nira.
So her name came to you. So the angel, her angel contacted you and told you her name.
Yes.
Nira.
Yes. Yes.
And what's her Hebrew name? Does she have a Hebrew name?
That's her Hebrew name and her English name.
So Nira, what does Nira mean in Hebrew?
No, Nira, as in Nair.
Ah, Nira.
Yes.
Nun Yud Resh Aleph.
Yes, or actually, well, I put a hey on the end. So
sorry, nun yud resh hey, yes, now that makes more sense. What does it mean?
Well, Nair is light, and Nira Nira is to be lit. Isn't that interesting?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that always sort of has been in the back of my head is that by giving her that name, she will always have a connection back to the light. That was my gift to her. But how she gets there is her own. She has to do it her own way.
It's also near is also according to this is also a plowed field.
Yes, that's right. Some woman on a plane when I was heading to New York one time happened to, you know, let me know that. And I was like, okay, that feels really hard, but then that makes sense, you know.
Well, it does actually in the context of what we're talking about, because a plowed field is a field ready for new growth.
Oh, my goodness. She wants nothing to do with spirituality, by the way. I should just tell you that, okay?
Well, that's okay.
And God or nothing like that. Nothing. There's nothing. I can't talk to her about anything like this, right? So
that actually makes it very difficult, because it means that you can't share your life with her.
That's
because
right.
The moment that you do, she thinks that you're trying to shove stuff onto her.
That's right. That's right.
So that makes life pretty tricky.
Exactly. Exactly. So what I do is I do what you sort of advised your student, which is I don't really talk much about myself, and I say very supportive words towards her and the things that she's doing that she's feeling very happy about, which she is in a good place in her life right now.
What's
right?
She doing?
So, she's in university in Spain. She's studying psychology, first year psychology,
and
in Spanish, and she absolutely loves it. And she's teaching English as a second language, which is it's good for her because she's independent with that, and that's how she makes money, right? And she's in a good relationship, and she's happy being in Spain. So, you know,
it sounds like, my love, you did a very good job.
Okay. Thank you.
I wouldn't worry at all about her not being spiritual right now. My second son took off his kippah and absolutely denies in many ways spirituality.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yes, that was jolly tricky too.
I'm sure that was not a fun moment. Oh my God.
No, that was very hard. And I went to Rabbi Eliyahu here, Rav Eliyahu, and he said, just give him lots of love. That's it. Don't tell him anything. Don't tell him what he should do, what he shouldn't do, what he should think, what he shouldn't do. Forget it. Just let him be himself and give him lots and lots and lots of love. And I have to say, it was the best advice anybody could have ever given me.
Wow.
It was a very hard thing to do, and I didn't manage it completely, but I you know, backed off completely and tried to just be there with him in what he's doing. And there's a tremendous amount of progress. Now, I don't believe that somebody goes into psychology and doesn't have any aspect of spirituality there, but it's got to grow.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
A lot of psychologists are coming to spirituality. My books, I promote my books at all the psychology conferences I can find, because so many psychologists are realizing now that psychology as it's traditionally taught isn't getting anybody very far.
No.
It needs an additional dimension.
Yeah.
And those additional dimensions are coming into psychology because they're very necessary. Now, how can you do psychology without the soul? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So maybe not now. She's only in her first year.
Right.
But in 5 years, in 10 years, when she's got practice with patients and she's there with patients in their troubles.
Yeah.
She will be herself looking for it.
Okay. And then she will.
But it'll be her. It'll be her search, her decision, her finding.
Right, on her terms.
On her terms, yes.
Yeah, okay. That's so cool. That is very cool. And I actually never thought about that.
Happen because that's the way psychology is developing now.
Isn't it interesting that she may be doing that, and in a sense she's following me in a certain way, because I act as a therapist, and you know, that's just very interesting.
She's serving people.
Yeah, she's working with people.
She's in a profession where she has to listen to people and love people.
And love people. Oh, my God.
Yes.
It's so interesting. Unless she goes the academic route, I guess that'd be interesting to see. Like, meaning she goes the route of becoming a professor. You know what I mean? Or something like that.
It's unlikely,
especially in Spain. There's no jobs there. So, yeah, it's highly unlikely.
I mean, how many people end up in academic thingamajigs? I mean, the posts are very few. Most people who do psychology practice it.
That's true. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Yadida. My God. I'm really, really, really helpful. And thank you for being the vessel that you are, so that, you know, seriously, because I prayed before the class, and it was like from the get go, it was like, oh my God, it's coming through already. This is amazing.
Oh gosh. Thank you, Shen.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Yadida.
I love you.
And I love you too. You're so, it's so, my heart feels like it just finally opened for the first time this morning.
Oh.
You know, and I did all my prayers and everything like I usually do. And it was just like, it was just very muddled. And it doesn't feel that way anymore. And it feels like it hurts a bit too, which is good because I could think I've dropped into what I'm really feeling, right?
Yes.
As opposed to being afraid to feel the pain, don't want to feel the pain, that kind of thing. So,
yeah. Oh, God, yes.
But I'm going to practice that very consciously right now. I'm going to practice honoring this as part as God's will, and that God is with my daughter, my role for her is to love her in the moment.
In the moment,
without conditions. And that's what I need. That's perhaps what I have not been doing, which is probably true.
I want to send you this session. That is the that's the link. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, so I can listen to it again. You're so smart.
That's the link to this one-on-one session with Michael Brown.
I see. Okay, got it. Yes.
Okay. I'll the recording from this class, I'll upload and I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't need recordings from classes usually, but today's would be very, I think that would be really, really good. I need to listen to it again for sure.
Yeah. So I'll send that to you. And then this is this one where he recommends you do it for 40 days. Now it's presented in 10 tiny, audio things, one after the other. I don't know why it's in 10. Maybe that was the only way you could upload it or something. But it's all 10. Each one is about 4 minutes each or 3 minutes each. The whole thing takes about half an hour or 40 minutes. And you go there and you just listen to him, and you work on these. It's a introduction. Watch that feeling, the melody of discomfort. Listening consistently, results versus consequences, being without condition, enlivening our being, the emotional component, our daily bread, and the manner of life. And it's really about watching those difficult feelings and ultimately being with them without any judgment whatsoever, and finally coming to know that they are the manner of our life. They are the light in our life, actually.
Wow.
And it's he says do it for 40 days. It's a very simple exercise. It's 15 minutes a day or something.
Okay. I am
finding it helpful.
This is good. Thank you so much, Yedida.
Yeah, and I'll when we finish, I'll upload the recorded class for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll listen to it later tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Yedida. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, sweetheart.
I'll talk to you on Monday, right?
Monday, yes, wonderful.
Monday,
yes.
Okay, oh, yay, yeah. Only a few days. This is great. Thank you so much.
I love you, Diane.
Okay, love you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye then.